ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. భద్రం కర్ణే శృణుయామదేవాః భద్రం పశ్యేమాక్షభిర్యజత్రాః స్థిరైరంగైస్తుష్టు వాగుంసస్తనూభిః పిశేమ దేవహితం యదాయుః. స్వస్తి న ఇంద్రో వృద్ధశ్రవాః స్వస్తి న పూషా విశ్వవేదాః స్వస్తి నస్తార్క్ష్యో అరిష్టనేమిః స్వస్తి నో బృహస్పతిర్దధాతు. ఓం శాంతే శాంతే శాంతిః. శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరి ఓం. మాండూక్య కారిక ఆలాత శాంతి ప్రకరణం శ్లోక 87. సవస్తు సోపలంబం చ ద్వయం లౌకికమిష్యతే అవస్తు సోపలంబం చ శుద్ధం లౌకికమిష్యతే. సవస్తు empirical existence, that which coexists with an empirically real object. So savastu, sopalam pancha, that which coexists with empirical experience. So these are all empirical experience, not real. Dvayam, that's state of duality which consists of experiences along with experienced object, external objects. Laukikam ishyate, is considered to be the waking state. Laukikam, jagradavastha. ఆ వస్తు సోపలంబం చ దాట్ స్టేట్ విచ్ కన్సిస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్సెస్ వితౌట్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఆ వస్తు లౌకికం ఇష్యతే ఇస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ టు బి ద డ్రీమ్ స్టేట్ సో ది వేకింగ్ స్టేట్ అండ్ డ్రీమ్ స్టేట్ ఆర్ గివన్ శుద్ధం శుద్ధం హియర్ మీన్స్ ప్యూర్ సో బిఫోర్ వైండింగ్ అప్ ది ఎంటైర్ కారికా టీచింగ్ ది ఆచార్య ఇన్ ది నెక్స్ట్ ఫ్యూ శ్లోకాస్ యాక్చువల్లీ వి స్టార్టెడ్ విత్ ది ఆగమ ప్రకరణం ది ఫస్ట్ చాప్టర్ ది ఆచార్య విషస్ టు రిమైండర్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ఉపనిషత్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్ మాండూక్య ఉపనిషత్ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్ హియర్ హీ సమ్మరైజెస్ ద సెంట్రల్ టీచింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద ఉపనిషత్ విచ్ ఈస్ ది అవస్థాత్రయ వివేక సో హీ డిఫైన్స్ ది జాగ్రత్త అవస్థ స్వప్నావస్థ సుషుప్తి అవస్థ అండ్ పాయింట్స్ అవుట్ దట్ తురియం ఈస్ ది సబ్స్ట్రాటమ్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దీస్ త్రీ which are subject to continuous change, all these three states. So the changing three avasthas are located upon the changeless turiya atma, and that is the avasthatraya adhishtanam, which is the real me and which is ever free. So he uses special words for each avastha, perhaps borrowed from the Buddhist philosophies. For the jagrat avastha, the word used is dvayam laukikam. He is using that word. Dvayam refers to Jagradavastha here. And Shuddham Laukikam refers to Swapnavastha. And Lokottaram, that refers to Sushuptiavastha. So this word appears actually in the next shloka only, the Lokottaram. We are just only mentioning here for the sake of completeness. So Jagradavastha is a state in which there are experiences and corresponding to an experience, there are objects outside. So, the pair of experiences and objects is the indication of Jagrat Avastha, waking state. And in dream state, dream avastha, supna avastha, there is experience, but there are no corresponding external objects because the sense organs are withdrawn, they are closed. Only the mind is operational, and from the vasanas of the mind, experiences are generated, but there are no corresponding external objects in dream, in Swapnavastha. So experience without external objects is Swapna. Experience with objects is Jagrat. So that is the difference. Shloka 88. Avastu anupalam pancha lokottaramiti smritam jnanam jnayancha vijnayam సదాబుదై ప్రకీర్తితం. ఆ వస్తు అనుపలం పంచ సో దాట్ స్టేట్ విచ్ ఈస్ వితౌట్ ఎక్స్పీరియన్స్ అండ్ వితౌట్ ఎక్స్టర్నల్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ లోకోత్తరం ఇది స్మృతం. వి మెన్షన్ దిస్ వర్డ్ లోకోత్తరం ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ శ్లోక. దిస్ ఈస్ కన్సిడర్డ్ టు బి బియాండ్ ది ఆర్డినరీ. జ్ఞానం జ్ఞేయం చ విజ్ఞేయం సో నాలెడ్జ్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్ and the Atma that is to be known, so Jnanam, Jnayam and Savignayam, Sada Buddha Prakirtitam, they are always discussed, prakirtitam, by Buddhaihi. Buddhaihi means the wise people, the jnanis. Sushupti avastha is defined as the state in which there is no external experience and no objects. That is sushupti avastha. So Gaudapada Acharya uses the word lokottaram for sushupti in this verse, meaning transcendence of both the internal and external worlds in deep sleep. So what do the jnanis talk about? The jnanis are aware of three things: jnanam, jnayam and vijnayam. Jnanam refers to the experiences and jnayam refers to the corresponding objects. Both of them, they keep changing. Experiences changing, corresponding objects also change. They are empirical satyam only. They don't have paramarthika satyam. So these changes, they require a changeless adhishtanam, which is the projector, sustainer and experiencer. I have introduced the term PSE earlier, projector, sustainer and experiencer. So just as the waker projects the dream, sustains it and enters the dream to experience it in dream, similarly, Atma alone, with the help of Maya, has projected the Jagrat Prapancha, sustains it and experiences it or witnesses it. So that Adhishtanam, the PSE, the projector, sustainer, experiencer, that is changeless. That changeless Turiya Adhishtanam, that is called Vijnayam in this shloka. The Turiya Adhishtanam, Turiya Atma. So this Vijnayam that occurs in the 7th mantra of the Mandukya Upanishad also, if you remember that mantra. So Vijnayam is Satyam, Jnanam and Jnayam Atyaral Mithya. Vijnayam is Satyam. Jnanam and Jnayam, that's supposed to be Mithya in that shloka. We already saw that. So the wise people know both Satyam and Mithya, and they talk about these. Actually, Krishna actually says in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, Nasato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha, ubayorapi drishtontaha, tvanayos tadva darshibihi. So Krishna says, for the unreal, the Mithya, there is never any being. For the real, there is never any non-being. The ultimate truth of both, the real and unreal, is seen by the knowers of truth. So, jnaninaha, tattvadarshibhi. So, wisdom means that you understand satyam as satyam and mithya as mithya. So, this clear knowledge of both satyam and mithya is the essence of the entire Mandukya Upanishad. So, the wise people have this knowledge and they discuss it when asked, such people. They discuss all of them. Shloka 89. Jnane chatri vidhe jnaye kramena vidite swayam sarvajnatahi sarvatra bhavatiha mahadhiyaha. Jnane chatri vidhe jnaye. When the threefold knowledge and the threefold objects of knowledge or kramena vidite swayam, known, kramena vidite, known in order of one's own accord, swayam, mahadiyaha, the man of great intelligence, the intelligence here, mahadiyaha, great intelligence, bhavati iha sarvajnatahi sarvatra, indeed enjoys omniscience by himself in this birth everywhere, sarvada, sarvatra. So, Gaudapada Acharya is presenting the essence of Mandukya Upanishad in a slightly different language here. Each of the three avasthas that has got experiences and the relevant objects. In the Jagrat Avastha, there is Sthula Anubhava and Sthula Prapancha is the experienced object in Jagrat Avastha. In Swapna Avastha, there is experience, and even though there are no external objects, there are dream objects within dream. So both Jagrat Avastha and Swapna Avastha have experiences and external or internal objects. Whereas in Sushupti Avastha, there is experience. There are two things experienced in deep sleep: total blankness or ajnanam, and another thing is sukham. Both are experienced in deep sleep state. So, ajnanam and anandam are objects that are experienced in the deep sleep state. So in all the three avasthas, there are relevant experiences and relevant objects. So in the previous shloka, Upalambam and Vastu were used for experience and objects respectively in the previous shlokas. And in this shloka, Gaudapada Acharya uses the words Jnanam and Jnayam for experience and objects respectively here. So all of these three pairs of experience and objects, they are subject to continuous change and they are mithya or empirical satyam only. There is an adhishtanam for all these three pairs. Which is the adhishtanam now? It is the turiya atma. A jnani, a wise person knows both the adhishtanam and these three pairs. So the threefold experiences and the threefold objects of experience, they are learned gradually. Therefore, withdrawing from these three pairs, one has to come to the vijneya atma, the turiya atma. Knowing the turiyam is only claiming that I am turiyam. It is not knowing the turiyam is something else. It is just claiming I am that turiyam. So for that student of great intellect, fullness and completeness is the benefit of this knowledge. Aham purnosmi, aham triptosmi. So that kind of knowledge. So he does not miss anything and does not have any wants in life at all for him. Nothing is away from him because he is in the form of everything. Shloka 19. Heya jneya pyapakhyani vijneyan yagrayanataha tesha manyatra vijneyat upalambas trishusprutaha. Another technical shloka. Heya jneya apya pakhyani. Heya jneya apya pakhyani. Heya jneya apya pakhyani. So things to be rejected, they are all called heyam. Jneyam, they are things to be known. Apya, they are supposed to be acquired. And pakhyani, pakhyas are, they are the ones that are made ineffective. So vijneyani, they are to be known first. All these four. So things to be rejected, things to be known, things to be acquired, and things to be made ineffective. All those have to be known. Tesham, among them. Vijneyat anyatra. Anyatra, other than atma vijneyat, to be known. So upalamba trishu smritaha. Three of them are considered to be mere appearance only. So the previous two shlokas, what do they do? They are each a summary of the entire Mandukya Upanishad, to be precise. Each one is a complete summary of the Upanishad. Now, Gaudapada Acharya addresses the Manda and Madhyama Adhikaris, the students who are all, you know, kind of dull students, Madhyama Adhikaris, Manda Adhikaris. So Manda students, the dull students, are those that do not receive the teaching at all. They are just, you know, blank. And Madhyama Adhikaris, Madhyama students are mediocre. They are those that receive the teaching, but they do not retain it. In the class, it all appears as if they are all known. The moment class is over, they don't know anything. So practical benefits are missing for both of them, Manda, Madhyama Adhikaris. So Arjuna complained that the teaching does not stay with him. That's what he said. So Uttama students are those that receive the teaching and retain the teaching. So they have got the Medha Shakti, Grahana Dharana Shakti they have. So Karma Yoga is for Manda Adhikaris, the people who are, you know, yet to be prepared. And Upasana Yoga is for Madhyama Adhikari. And Jnana Yoga is for a Uttama Adhikari. So Gaudapada Acharya says that even if you do not understand the teaching, it is not a great issue. Vedanta Shravanam itself is capable of purifying the mind. Jnana Yoga serves as a pramana and a purifier of the mind. So one can continue the Shravanam and continue to prepare the mind. And as the mind gets prepared, the understanding will get better and better. So Gaudapada Acharya addresses the preparation in this shloka. So before coming to the Vedanta, four factors must be noted to check to see if a person is ready for Jnana Yoga at all or not. And what are those four factors? Heyam. Heyam means all the impurities of the mind, like they are like the weeds in a garden. So the mind should be free from raga, dvesha and all those things. These are called asuri sampat in Bhagavad Gita language, Krishna's language. And then apyam. Apyam, all those virtues that are to be acquired and nourished. This is called daivi sampatti again in Bhagavad Gita, which includes shravanam, mananam and nididhyasana. So Krishna also refers to jnana yoga itself as daivi sampat. And pakyani, they refer to certain tendencies that have to be roasted and rendered ineffective. For example, a roasted seed cannot germinate. Ragadvesha cannot be totally removed. As Krishna himself says, he says, Indriyasyarthe ragadveshav vyavasthitav tayor navashamagachete tauhyasya paripantinav. So there are longing and aversion, potential aversion in every sense object. May you not come under the spell of these two, because they are one's enemies. Chapter 3. So some ragadvesha are universal and natural. There are unavoidable legitimate ragadveshas also. But there are binding ragadveshas which have inbuilt ability to hurt. So we have to remove the hurting ability of ragadvesha and make the binding ragadvesha into non-binding ragadvesha. We should be prepared to accept all the results according to the law of karma. And then the ragadvesha, even though present, will not hurt us anymore. So the details again are given in Bhagavad Gita, particularly in the second chapter. Sukha dukkhe same kritva labha labhau jaya jayau tato yuddhaya yujyasva naivam papam apapsisi. So taking pleasure and pain, gain loss, victory defeat, to be same, prepare for the battle. Yujyasva, yuddhaya yujyasva. Thus you will gain no sin at all, no papam will come to you. So that samatvam, that building of that samatvam is called ragadvesha roasting. As you roast the seed which will not germinate, even if you have all these, it will not hurt one. So samatvam building through proper attitude. What is the attitude? Ishvara arpana bhavana and Ishvara prasada bhavana. Whatever action you do, do it with an awesome offering to the Lord. And whatever comes out of the action, accept it as Ishvara Prasada. They are all detailed actually in the third chapter. They will all, you know, you blunt the sharpness of ragadvesha. It will not hurt us anymore. So unroasted ragadvesha will create a preoccupied and shallow mind, which can do. So for such people, shravanam becomes very difficult even. So only a non-preoccupied deep mind can listen attentively for a length of time and receive the message deeply and also retain it in the heart. So both grahanam and dharanam. Nyeyam. Nyeyam here refers to the object to be known. Here is only Brahman. So the goal that must be kept in mind by the seeker all the time. So all these four factors, what are the four factors? Now we already saw all of them. They are Arheyam and Apyam and all these things, the Nyeyam. So all those four factors, they have to be noted when anyone comes to the spiritual path. Shloka 91. Prakritya akasha vajneyaha sarve dharma anadayaha vidyate nahina natvam tesham kvachana kinchana. Prakritya by nature, sarve dharmaha, all jivas, the maharifas, all jivas. So all the jivas, nyeyaha, they should be known, akashavate, like space, and anadayaha, eternal. Nanatvam, plurality, nahi vidyate, does not exist at all. Tesham, among them, kvachana, kinchana, anywhere, at any time, it doesn't exist. So every jivatma should understand oneself as the all-pervading conscious principle, like space, formless, accommodates everything. It's not contaminated by anything and it's Advaitam. So every jivatma is all pervading and non-dual, like space by nature, prakritya.
I cannot become limitless because what is limited can never become limitless. Finite cannot become infinite. Therefore, I do not have to do sadhana to become limitless. It will never work. I cannot do any sadhana to become limitless. It will never work. What I have to do is what? I have to claim limitlessness, which is already my very nature. Consciousness is not limited by the boundaries of the body. All those things we have seen in detail earlier. Body has boundary, but consciousness that blesses the body is not limited by the boundaries of the body. Not only is there no limitation spatially, but time-wise also there is no limitation. Everyone is the unborn Atma. Body's birthday is mistaken to be our birthday. Celebrating birthday is fine, but remember that Atma is without beginning, without any exception. Everyone can claim this fact. There is no plurality in Atma at all whatsoever. Normally it is thought that there are many Jivatmas. So Gaudapada Acharya says that plurality belongs to the body, which is the enclosure for consciousness. Plurality does not belong to consciousness. If there are five parts, how many spaces are there? Space is only one, even though it appears like there are several part spaces, small space, big space, all that. Part spaces seem to be many, but seeming plurality is not actual plurality. What is seeming is not actual. Jivatmas are essentially many, but there is no actual plurality at any time or at any place. The part whole teaching, Jivatma is part of Paramatma, that is not correct. That is Gaudapada Acharya's strong contention. Consciousness is partless, Advaitam, limitlessness, fullness, completeness. That is our Swarupam. We need to only own up that Swarupam. Shloka 92. Adi Buddha Prakrityaiva Sarve Dharmasu Nischitaham Yasyaivam Bhavati Kshantihi Somritatvaya Kalpate. Sarve Dharmaha, all Jivasa Prakritya Eva, by their very nature Adi Buddhaha. So all those people are self-evident from the very beginning, Adi, from the very beginning. Yes, yeah, for that person whom bhavati kshanti, he enjoys contentment, shanti, within this knowledge, evam, in the way described above in this shlokas, saha, that person, amrtatvaya kalpate, he is fit for the immortality. I first give the literal meaning and then we will discuss. So when a person is not a spiritual seeker, for example, that worldly person, he wants to acquire many things. And that is the associated anxiety. I want to get this, I want to get this. Then only I will become complete. So when a person comes to spirituality, he may come out of worldly anxiety, but those will be invariably replaced by spiritual anxiety. That's the new anxiety now. Spiritual anxiety is what? Is whether moksha will be attained or not. Will I get moksha? I am doing all these japas and all that thing. Will I get moksha? So when the guru says that for moksha, self-knowledge is needed, anxiety for moksha is now replaced by what? Anxiety for self-knowledge, realization, enlightenment, atma-jnanam, brahma-jnanam, atma-anubhava, brahma-anubhava. So all those things. So Gaudapada Acharya says that no one need to have anxiety for atma-anubhava because Atma is something that is experienced by all people all the time in the form of what? I am, aham, aham. The word Atma means what? Self. And self is I. Atma Anubhava means self Anubhava. Self Anubhava means I Anubhava, aham Anubhava. I Anubhava need not be worked for because the I is experienced all the time. I don't have to work for it. Consciousness is self-revealing. Anatma only requires a revealing light. Atma does not. Atma being self-revealing, everyone is an Atma-jnani only from Anadikala, not today or yesterday. never desperately attempt for self-knowledge. Then we may ask the question, why do we study all this Vedanta at all or not? We study Vedanta not for self-knowledge, because self is all the time available as I am within us. But what we really do is what? So after saying I am, what we really do? We add a few adjectives to that I am. If we say I am and stop, then we are all jnanis. But saying what? I am a man, I am woman, I am old, I am rich, I am sick. We add all these adjectives that do not belong to us, the Atma, but belong to the Anatma, either the body or the mind or the sense organs. Shastra only says that after saying I am, put a full stop. That is Brahmajnanam. If I add an attribute to I am, I become a Jivatma. If I drop the attributes, I am called Paramatma. I am without attributes is called Brahman. Saying I am attributeless is not adding another attribute. It only indicates that I am is free from attributes. We study Vedanta not for self-knowledge. But for what? But for dropping self-misconceptions. Therefore, Gaudapada Acharya says that we should not have anxiety for self-knowledge at all, because it is already there as I am. Every Jivatma is self-revealing consciousness. So all Jivatmas are enlightened regarding themselves even before starting Jnana Yoga. What is the proof? Because we all start with any sentence, I am. I am reveals the self-revealing Atma by its very nature. If Vedantic message is not understood properly, which is a filtered listening, for example, one will be looking for self-knowledge even after studying many years of Vedanta. The person who has understood the message of Vedanta will say, I am, and stop adding any attributes, adjectives to I am. Adjectives limit me. Who is limitless? I am infinite, but I am limited by all these attributes and adjectives. During sleep, we do not take the attributes of Anatma, and so we are limitless. Upon waking up, we continue the mistake. Vedanta is dropping the attributes. Having understood this, the person is relaxed without anxiety for self-knowledge or experience of the self. We do not need to get self-knowledge because we already have it in the form of I am. So the person that understands this can claim immortality at once. Immortality is already our nature. When I say I am a man, I have already identified with my body. The moment that happens, immortality cannot be claimed anymore. But if I say I am and stop, immortality, that is my nature, already can be claimed. Shloka 93. Adisha antahyan utpannaha prakrityaiva sunivrutaha sarve dharma samabhinnaha ajam samyam visharadam. Sarve dharmaha, all the jivas, prakritya eva sunivrutaha, they are totally free by nature. Prakritya eva. Adishantaha, they are tranquil from beginning. Anutpannaha, they are all unborn, beginningless. Sama abhinnaha, they are uniform, sama, and divisionless, abhinnaha. Because the reality is what? Ajam, samyam, visharadam. Atma is indeed ajam, unborn. Samyam, uniform. And visharadam is pure. So every jivatma is turiyam by very nature, incapable of being disturbed at any time. The mind is subject to temporary disturbances or peace, all of them. Generally, the peace we know, what is that peace? You know, it's very interesting to know what is peace. The peace is only the gap between two disturbances. Between two disturbances, whatever is the gap is called peace. The mind is subject to fluctuations. But I, who who is different from the mind and who is the witness consciousness, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, I am Shantam, Shivam, Advaitam. So this peace has been there from beginningless time because I am Turiyam. I am free from the cycle of birth and death all the time. Freedom from rebirth is freedom from the misconception that I have rebirth. I never have a birth. Where is the question of rebirth? Misconception is in the mind and no correction is needed anywhere else. Only we have to correct the mind. All the jivatmas are same and each is non-different from the other. Jnanis claim that fact, but others refuse to claim this fact. As Vishwa, jivas are different, but from the Atma angle, all jivas are the same. Birthlessness, sameness, uniformity and purity, they are all our nature. Shloka 94. Vaisharadhyantu vainasti bhede vicharatam sadam bhedanimna pritakvadaha tasmate kripanasmritaha. Charya is a little strong in using his expressions. Vaisharadhyantu vainasti vayasti. So there can be no plurality at all. That is vaisharadhyam. There cannot be no plurality. Bhede vicharatam sadam. For those people who dwell upon separateness, bedam, all the time. Beda nimna pratakvadaha, dualist. The people who are dualists, they are inclined to the idea of beda. Tasmat, therefore, te kripanaha smritaha. They are considered to be kripanaha, unfortunate people. So, in the previous shloka, the first message that whatever we want, we already have or already are, and that we have to learn to claim that fact itself, that alone was that was given. Now, claiming this fact leads to a relaxed mind. Then we turn our attention to Anatma. Remembering the nature of Anatma, which is that Anatma does not have origination or existence and that it has only appearance, all those things, the mithya. Do whatever is needed to improve the Anatma and do not connect your peace to the conditions of Anatma. If one's fulfillment is connected to Anatma, it will never come consistently at all. Approach Anatma objectively, understanding that you have no control over that. You can only contribute your best, whether it is your own body, your own mind, or your own family, or your own property, or your own profession. You do not have any control over the pancha anatmas. Even Bhagavan cannot have total control on the anatmas. Anatma cannot be controlled by jiva or ishvara. But by what? By the law of karma only. This does not mean fatalism because you have a contributing free will. Normally people say, oh, everything is already decided. I have no control. No. Lord has given us the free will. With this awareness, one is free as Atma and contribute to Anatma, and this is Jivan Mukti. The moment you start controlling Anatma, samsara will affect you because your expectations may not be fulfilled. Samsara is endless complaint of Anatma, which is not worth complaining about at all. Whatever you seek, you claim with yourself. In the 94th shloka, in the second message given is, Advaitam is the reality and Dvaitam is Mithya. You can handle Dvaitam, but never get obsessed with Dvaitam. Dvaitam obsession is samsara, plurality. Is obsession is samsara, but Dvaitam perception is not samsara. Understand that this has to be understood clearly. Dvaitam obsession is samsara, but Dvaitam perception is not samsara. Those people who are all the time dwelling upon Dvaitam with raga dvesha leading to mental preoccupation do not have any mental clarity at all or relaxation or purity. Purity of mind is what? Is calmness of mind. A disturbed mind alone is the impure mind. Even obsession with worldly duties that can disturb a mind. This is also samsara. All dualistic philosophers, Sankhya philosophers, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Purva Mimamsakas, Dvaita, Visishtadvaita, they accept duality and dwell upon differences. And they are considered here as Kripanaha in this shloka. There is a significant statement in actually Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. As long as there is a second thing, there will be fear. There is a Purusha with the Brahmanam, the fourth one in Brihadaranyaka. We are going to see all that. So vibhete tasma dekaki vibheti sahayamishan chakre yen madanyan nasti kasmanu vibhemiti tata evasya bhayam viyaya kasmadya beshyat dvitiyadvai bhayam bhavati.
As long as there is a second thing, dvitiyam bhayam bhavati, there is fear. Interacting with a second person or an object will generate ragadvesha towards that person or the object. Both cause fear in two ways. Fear of dependency, raga, and fear of arrival, dvesha. Both of them. So the departure, fear of departure is this one, and both arrival and departure, they are going to cause me ragadvesha. Advaitin also experiences duality. But he does not see anything different from himself because he knows that one Atma alone is appearing as different Nama Rupas. Shloka 95.
Aje sam yetu kechite pavishyanti sunischitaha tehi loke mahajnanaha tachya loko nagahate.
Yekechit, those people, bhavishyanti, who will become sunishchitaha, firm in conviction with respect to the nature of the ultimate reality, paramarthikam satyam, ajay samye, which is birthless and which is uniform, samyam, tehi loke mahajnanaha, they are indeed the people of great wisdom, mahajnanam, in the world, loke. Chana lokaha and the common man person, the people who are ordinary people without this knowledge, tat gahate, they do not understand that. So Gaudapada Acharya says that one who comes to this knowledge is rare, admirable person, and to be congratulated also, because he has gone through a long journey to come to the binary format. If you remember the triangular format to binary format and all we discussed earlier, starting in Karma Yoga, I deliberately enter into a triangular format and accept Bhagavan. I depend on God for support and follow Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga to acquire Sadhana, Chatushtaya, Sampatti and all that. Viveka, Vairagya, Samadhi, Shatka, Sampatti and also Mumukshutva, all that. Then by the grace of Bhagavan, I get a Guru and I get Shastra Jnanam. I go through Shravanam, Mananam. And with the grace of the Lord, Shravanam and Mananam become you successful also. When I have the understanding of my real nature, I switch from the triangular format to the binary format. So each person has to decide for himself whether the understanding has taken root at all or not. I should be thoroughly convinced that I am Brahman, who supports everything, and that I do not need any support. I need to decide whether I am ready to enter binary format, dropping God dependency. Entering binary format is the beginning of Nididhyasanam. There may be many fallbacks for me to the triangular format. But over time, staying in the binary format will get longer and longer and eventually will become natural to me. Binary format becoming natural is called Jnana Nishta or Brahmi Stitihi. If you remember the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Brahmi Stiti. A person that has come to this state is a rare person, as Krishna himself says in the Bhagavad Gita. Manushyanam sagasreshu kaschit yatati siddhaye yatatamapi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Seventh chapter. Among thousands of people, a rare person makes effort for moksha. Manushyanam sahasreshu. Even among those seekers making effort, only a rare person comes to know me. Yatatamapi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. My dear. A person who goes through several intermediate stages and abides in the knowledge firmly, doubtlessly and spontaneously,
he always is in sahaja samadhi. Sahaja samadhi. He does not attempt to remember the teachings of Vedanta. It is sahajam for him. People in this state, they are the ones of great wisdom. An ajnani can never understand the mental state of a jnani at all. One who is a jnani alone can know another jnani. The lay people cannot fathom the state of mind of such a jnani. Shloka 96. Ajeshvajam asankrante dharmeshu jnana mishyate yato nakramate jnanam asangante na kirtitam. Ishyate, it is traditionally held, what? Jnanam ajeshu dharmeshu. Consciousness in the unborn jivas, ajeshu dharmeshu, dharmeshu again the first jivas, ajeshu, the one is unborn. The jnanam, consciousness in the unborn jivas, is ajam, unborn, and asankrantam. It is relationless or is unassociated with other objects. Yataha jnanam na karkramate. Since yataha, jnanam does not relate to any other object, tena, for that reason, kirtitam asangam. It is said to be relationless, asangam. So, in these final few slokas of the fourth chapter, Allata Shanti Prakaranam, the Gaudapada Acharya is summarizing the entire teaching given in the Mandukya Upanishad in general, and particularly the seventh mantra that we have seen many times earlier, we have mentioned. So, he makes an important point that Advaitam is a teaching that is based on the Shastraic revelation. And it negates Dvaitam, a conclusion we have made based on our experience. Vedanta does not negate the Dvaita Anubhava and does not want to even change the Dvaita Anubhava. It does not want to give a new Dvaita Anubhava also. Vedanta does not work in the field of experience at all. Let all experiences continue as they are. They need not be stopped. And they cannot be stopped also, because the sense organs are designed to report Dvaitam only. What Vedanta challenges is the conclusion that we have made that Dvaitam is Satyam based on our experience. Vedanta makes us inquire into that conclusion with the help of what? Shastras only. Shastra Pramanam. The inquiry being, what is Satyam based on Shastra Pramanam? That alone is the inquiry. When the inquiry is done, we learn Dvaita Anubhava is present, but is not Satyam. And that Advaitam alone is Satyam. That alone we come to the conclusion after inquiry using Shastra Pramana. These stars that are experienced as small, big, they are known to be the stars, we experience them as small, but they are known to be big based on science, the scientific knowledge. And even after that knowledge, the experience still continues. We still feel the stars small. And another example is the sun experienced as moving across the sky. Between Anubhava Siddham and Pramana Siddham, one should hold on to the Pramana Siddham even as the Anubhava Siddham continues. What is the basis for our wrong conclusions? The proponents of Satya Dvaitam, they reason as follows. How do they say? Every experience proves Dvaitam. That is their contention. In every experience, there are two things. One is I, the experiencing consciousness principle, and the other is the object. So in every experience, consciousness is in contact with one object or the other. So there are two things. So every experience thus includes consciousness and an object. So should not Dvaitam be accepted in this case? So Gaudapada Acharya admits that there is an experience of Dvaitam in interaction with the world. Practical world is Dvaitam. He answers that world doesn't have origination or existence, but has only appearance. If you remember all the four things which we mentioned many times. So consciousness contacts only the appearing world, but world does not have an existence of its own. It is mithya.
It is similar to the waker contacting the dream objects, but it is known that the dream objects do not exist separate from the waker. Dvaitam is an appearance, but it is not satyam. Advaitam is satyam and dvaitam is not there. The corollary is that there is no second thing other than me. I cannot have any relationship with the second thing also. In Advaitam, there is no sangatvam. Asangoham, 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 punapunaha, sachidanandarupoham, ahamevam, ahamavyayaha. Acharya wrote, so sangatvam is not there for me. The eternal consciousness in every jiva really does not contact a second object, just as the clay can never contact the pot. There is no pot other than clay, and so there is no relationship between them. Two words are used and the utility of the pot is recognized, but there is not even a karya karana sambandha between the clay and pot. Similarly, Atma and Anatma are like clay and pot. Atma is like clay and the world is like pot. The ETU factor, experience, transaction, utility, if you remember all that, of the Anatma is recognized. But there is no relationship with Atma. There is no Anatma separate from Atma, even as Anatma is fully used for transaction. We experience the world and use the world, but we never accept the world as separate from the observer Atma. Since consciousness does not come in contact with a second object, Atma, the Turiyam, is Asangam. Vishwa, Taijasa and Prajna, they have Sangha, association. But Turiyam does not have any Sangha association. That Turiyam is myself. I have to claim that. Advaitam can be established only when Dvaitam is completely negated. Dvaitam is introduced initially. This is required in the beginning stage of Vedanta. This is maintained for a long time also. And ultimately, this has to be resolved. So, to reveal Atma, it is said, Atma is the experiencer of everything. This is called the Drik Swarupam. This Atma is different from whatever is experienced. And thus we introduce Drik Drishya Viveka. We have seen all that thing in many other lectures earlier. This is done very elaborately, detailing the five elements of Drishyam, Drishyatvam, Bhautikatvam, Sagunatvam, Savikaratvam, Agamapayitvam, so all these various terms, of course, we don't have to go through the details of all of them, just only to know. After understanding myself as Turiyam, I have to fold Anatma into myself by understanding that there is no Anatma separate from me. In the beginning, it is said that I am different from Anatma, Neti, Neti. I am different from the body, mind, and the world. They are all objects. Consciousness is differentiated from matter. And finally, matter is resolved into consciousness by understanding that there is no matter separate from consciousness. Matter or the solid world is only nama rupa, name and form. It does not exist separate from me. So this resolving of the Anatma into Atma is talked about in the remaining final shlokas of Mandukya Karika. These are all very, very profound verses. Shloka 97. Anuma atrepi vaidharmye jayamane vipaschitaha asangata sada nasti kimutavaranachyutihi jayamane Vaidharmye anumatre api. Even if it is accepted, there is origination, jayamani, of an atom of a different nature, anumatre api, from Brahman. Even if there is something, even anumatram different from Brahman, even if it is accepted, then na asti sada, there can never be any asangata, non-attachment. Avipaschitaha,
for those indiscriminate person, kim utha, then what to talk about, avaranachyutihi, end of ignorance or covering, this question is asking. So if this fact is not understood and assimilated, what will be the consequence? What is the consequence of missing the fact that I am Advaitam? There is no second thing as real, as me, and that I do not have any relationship with anything at all. So the screen, for example, where the movie is running, the screen does not have any relationship with the movie characters. The consequence is instantaneous samsara, if you are going to attach yourself to that. Experiencing a second thing is not samsara, but attributing reality to it and developing ragadvesha results in anxiety, fear, samsara. For the dull-witted person, Manda Madhyamadhikaris, who accepts the existence of anatma and gives reality to it, asangatvam is gone. Always sangha has come. That person then claims the limited and selective circle of people and objects as his own. A mutual sense of belonging develops. Individual jiva has a sense of insecurity and tries to overcome this by developing this mutual sense of belonging. Shankaracharya defines samsara as aham, yesham, mama ete. I belong to them and these belong to me, in the introduction of his commentary on Bhagavad Gita. The one who is caught up in sangha problems, attachment, aversion, sorrow, delusion, cannot get out of self-ignorance. Moksha for him is too far away. Shloka 98. Alabdha avarana sarve dharma prakriti nirmalaha adav buddhastata muktaha buddhyanta iti nayakaha. Sarve dharmaha prakriti nirmalaha. All jivas sarve dharmaha are naturally prakriti nirmalaha, naturally pure. Alabdha varnaha, free from ignorance, bondage and all of them. Buddhaha, tata, muktaha, they are illumined, buddhaha, and liberated, muktaha, from the very beginning. Buddhyanta iti nayakaha, the wise people figuratively say that they know. So, in the previous shloka, Gaudapadacharya said that those who are caught up in the transactions based on sangha, relationship, can never remove the ignorance about the self. This may imply that there are two things, atma and avaranam. Avaranam is concealment, cover. Avarana. Is atma really concealed or covered? Atma is never covered by ignorance, because atma is consciousness that is all the time available in the form of I am, self-awareness, that awareness. Whether I am aware of the world or not, I am always aware of myself. It is only because of this I am even aware of the external objects. Since there is self-awareness always, there cannot be any covering of it at all. If Atma is ever available as I am, then what are we doing studying Vedanta? Self, the Atma, is available all the time as I am. And along with I am, body experience also is there. We transfer the attributes of the body to the already known self. We already mentioned it earlier. We are not covering Atma, but we are transferring the wrong attributes of the body to Atma. When body is young, I do not say that body is young, but say I am young. When the body is disturbed, I say I am disturbed. Self-ignorance is nothing but the transference of the anatma attributes to the self. And self-knowledge is the removal of the wrong attributes or retransference of the attributes to where they belong, namely the anatma. All the jivatmas are all the time self-revealing as I am. They are ever pure. All the jivatmas are enlightened all the time. Saying I am indicates enlightenment. And any addition to that I am portrays ignorance. All the jivas are liberated all the time. Vedanta does not give knowledge and does not give liberation also. Vedanta removes only the misconception in the mind. When the misconceptions are removed, that removal is figuratively called enlightenment. We are not learning or experiencing any new thing. The experience of I am is common to all the jnanis and ajnanis also. Any bodily experience is common to both the jnani and the ajnani. They will not have the sense of I have the pain, the jnani will never have. The jnani distances himself from the bodily experience. This internal detachment itself will reduce the impact of the bodily experience. Sages figuratively call the removal of misconceptions as self-enlightenment. Shloka 99. Kramate nahi buddhasya jnanam dharmeshu tayinaha sarve dharmastata jnanam naitad buddhena bhashitam. Hi buddhasya jnanam tayinaha. So since knowledge of the wise people who has realized the ultimate reality of the all-pervading Atma, na kramate dharmeshu, they do not contact objects at all. Tata sarve dharmaha, similarly all the jivas are the same without difference. That is, the nature of the supreme reality is free from differences of knowledge, known, knower, alatam, etat. So this knowledge, na bhashitam buddhena, is not expressed by the Buddha. So in the first line, Gaudapada Acharya talks about the thinking of a jnani. And in the second line, he says that this is true for ajnanis also, but they don't know it. They don't know about this. So jnani says that he is advaitam and asangam. The ajnani is also same. The difference is the jnani knows this fact and ajnani does not know this fact. Every jiva is advaitam and asangam only. The consciousness of a wise person, which is all-pervading Brahman, does not contact a second thing because the jnani knows that there is no second thing. In case of an ajnani also, this is a fact, but he does not have pramana siddham. He can make use of Veda, get pramana siddham and claim his advaita nature. So Gaudapada Acharya proclaims that this teaching is given by only by the Vedas. He specifically says that Buddha did not teach us. Buddha, Gautama Buddha did not teach this. Buddhism has many similarities to Advaitam. They also say world is mithya and consciousness is satyam, especially the Yogacara form of Buddhism. For them, consciousness is real and it exists only momentarily. We have mentioned this earlier. With every experience, consciousness arrives and then departs when the experience is over. There is a continuous flow of momentary consciousness. But the Upanishads teach that there is eternal consciousness, no momentary consciousness. Further, Buddha refuted Veda Pramanam. He accepted only what is arrived at logically. On the other hand, Gaudapada Acharya is a Vaidika. Vedas talk about eternal consciousness as the truth. Buddhists don't accept that at all. Some academicians, they claim that Buddhism and Advaita Vedanta are identical in the view of Atma. If that is the case, there will be no need for a Buddhism because Vedas, they predate Buddha. Shloka 100, the last shloka. Durdarshamati gambhiram ajam samyam visharadam buddhva padamananathvam namaskurmo yathabalam. Buddhva, having known, durdarshanam ati gambhiram, the incomprehensible, and very atigambira, very profound, ajam, samyam, visharadam. Ajam, birthless, samyam, uniform, visharadam, that holy padam, such a state which is ananatvam, which is non-duality. Ananatvam, nanaha, it means pure, plural. Namaskurmaha, we do namaskaras to that state, yathabalam, to the best of our ability. So, Gaudapada Acharya concludes the Karika by offering his namaskaras. Now you should understand, even though he talked about Advaita so profoundly, he now comes down to empirical level in which the guru-disciple pair falls. He expresses gratitude to Ishvara, Guru and Shastra. Ishvara brings the appropriate Guru and Guru enlightens the Shastra, Shastraic teaching. So, having discovered non-dual destination, Turiyam, which is difficult to grasp, extremely very subtle, it is eternal, which is uniform and pure. Let us offer our namaskaras to Ishvara, Guru and Shastra in the way we are able to the best of our ability. Let us offer namaskaras to Turiya Atma, which is nothing but abiding as Atma. Grasping Turiyam and abiding as Atma is just remaining as I am, and dropping all the attributes and identifications. Ramana Maharishi says in Shadarshana very beautifully, I meditate on God by remaining as God. I meditate on God by remaining as God. With this, Alata Shanti Prakaranam, that is of the Mandukya Karika, is concluded. And with this, the Mandukya Upanishad also, all the three Atharva Veda Upanishads, we have already seen Prashna Munda Mandukya, all those things, they are also concluded. And now we will summarize the fourth Karika, the Alata Shanti Prakaranam, in the next webinar and take up another Upanishad from Samaveda, the Chandogya Upanishad, which contains the famous Mahavakya Tattvamasi, in the next webinar. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishthitah Tasya Prakriti Leenaseya Parasa Maheshwarah. Sri Krishna Arpanamastu Narayana.